Matthew chapter 13, if you have your Bible with you, ready to read, follow along. Anybody opposed to me reading this whole chapter? I heard somebody say, I won't read the whole chapter. This is one of those chapters, though, that I wonder why they decided to divide the things the way they've divided them. But it really doesn't matter how they've divided it. It's still the same truth, Word of God truth. And it's relevant for us. It speaks to us. It just depends on your heart this evening as to how much this passage will speak to you. I can preach with volume, charisma, I'd say eloquence, but I think that's beyond me. But it's up to us individually if it speaks to us. I mean, it's up to the Holy Spirit. He plays a big role in all of this, but the Holy Spirit to speak it to us, I still believe, though, that we're going to have to, for it to really be effective, this passage to be effective, we're going to have to want it to be. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. He found the treasure. He put it back and went and purchased that field. The merchant man found the great pearl of great price, and he went and purchased that one pearl. The rarity of the gem greatly enhances its value. A gem that is entirely free from flaws is regarded as highly precious. The value of a gem materially depends on its size. Now that's in representation or pointing to this pearl of great price. We really don't know a whole lot about this pearl, do we? We just know that there is a pearl of great price that caused this pearl merchant to go and sell everything that he had in order for him to buy that one pearl. It must have been a rare gem. It must have been free from flaws. It kind of makes us think that it must have been a sizable gem, maybe larger than he'd ever seen before. But whatever the case, all of those things combined, perhaps it was all of those things combined and more, that caused him to believe that this gem was the most valuable thing that he'd ever seen. And he wanted it. And he did everything that he could to have it. And it cost him. Our desire to have God is directly related to our estimated value of him. Our desire to have, isn't that what the representation here is? That Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven and he's bringing it into this treasure in the field and he's bringing it into this great pearl? The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Our desire to have him is directly related to our estimated value of him. How much we estimate his value to us. Somebody said that those who have been brought to see and feel the Savior's worth will regard no sacrifice too great in order to be made partakers of him. Those who have been brought to see and feel the Savior's worth will regard no sacrifice too great. What is the value? How much is the value that we place individually, personally, on having God? Being the recipient of his free gift of salvation. Free gift. How can you place value on a free gift? But when you look at the value, the greatness of this free gift, somebody said that we must be willing to part with our own righteousness. We must be willing to part with the favor of our dearest friends should their claims clash with his claims. And certainly the scripture bears out readily that we must be willing to part with every known sin, no matter how agreeable or how profitable. And if I could, add the word respectable. Depart with every known sin, no matter how agreeable or profitable or respectable. Let's take a little bit of a notice here, a quick notice here of the merchant man. I think there's something here within this little story, this short story, for us to understand, for us to grasp a hold of. What about this merchant man? If we watch him while he's seeking, I think that if we look at this, I don't think it takes too much for us to understand that his mind was aroused, his mind was engaged, his heart was in his business. I mean, that's what he's telling us here. He was a merchant man and he was seeking goodly pearls. His mind was engaged, his heart was engaged. He was in this for the long haul. He was in this to find something that his heart longed for. He found something. There's a fixed, definite object. Now, I'm not talking about the pearl of great price here. That's not the definite object. His object, or his objective, maybe I should use that word, objective. His objective was that he had given himself to pearl hunting. Isn't that crazy? Anybody here know how to go about pearl hunting? I'm talking about from your experience of pearl hunting. Have you figured out how to pearl hunt? I don't understand that kind of thing. But what I think I can understand is that his heart, his life, his whole being, he had given himself to pearl hunting. And then he finds the object that was not at all commonplace. There wasn't anything ordinary about this. There was something about this thing that stood far and above everything else that he'd ever seen. He probably knew what fake pearls were. But he was looking for the real thing. He was looking for the real, the genuine. And he sought it with diligence. The merchant man sold out in his heart. Long before he found that pearl, he was settled to find the great pearl. What about his findings? What about that one pearl that he found? It was a remarkable one, wasn't it? Surely it must have been. In that one pearl, he found all. We could make a little cliche there, couldn't we? All in one. All in one. One songwriter penned the words, "All in all to me is Jesus." Another songwriter penned the words, and we might sing it before we go, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." And he was resolved that he would have that pearl. He was resolved that he would have that pearl. Let's briefly notice what that meant, because I think it's significant. I believe that it's significant for us to understand here. What was it that he did? You know, the story's only two verses long. It's not very lengthy. You can go to other translations, and it really doesn't even make it more lengthy. Even though the Amplified tends to take a verse and double it in words, the Amplified really doesn't even make it longer. It still says the same thing. It's just a short verse or a short story that provides us with a great picture or great window of something that is related to heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. What does this verse say? This little bitty story. When he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had. Sold all that he had in order to buy that one pearl. That goes beyond us. We don't have any comprehension of that, because there's not a single thing that we could find in this world that we would be willing to sell every single thing we own in order to have that. So it's not speaking about the material things. He's not speaking to us. The truth of this is not coming to us to tell us that we have to sell all of the material things that we have in order to have it. There is a spiritual truth here. This is called a parable. This is a story about something earthly to point us to heaven and point us in the direction of heaven. This is a spiritual truth here. There's something to be said about obtaining this great pearl of great price. Now, he does not list, and I suppose that it was a good thing that Jesus didn't list all the things that he sold. He just simply said he sold everything. So when we look at it from the spiritual aspect, we have to understand that that is exactly what he means, that we sell everything, that we give up everything, that we are dead indeed to sin, dead to self, and alive unto Christ. That means, if we are really understanding this correctly, that means that we are going to sell out all of self in order to have him. We are going to sell out all of our selfish righteousness, all of our self. Whether we want to admit it or not, probably one of our biggest problems is that we're not so bad. I'm not a bad person. We're not all that bad. Pretty good people. You can find some people that we might think of as bad sinners. But they think, you know, I'm not so bad. Look at somebody else is worse than I am. It's hard to find somebody that's really, really understands how bad they are. There's something about us in our human form, in our human nature, that we have this idea that we're really not as bad as what somebody else may think we are. We have a little bit of self-righteousness, but in order to obtain the pearl of great price, we are going to sell out all of our self-righteousness. We're going to sell out all of sinful pleasures. Jesus even tells us that we have to say goodbye to father and mother. No, he's not saying that we have to ignore them, move out. No, the scripture still says to honor our parents. But it's a spiritual lesson that we give God our whole being, our entire self. I don't know who wrote this song or this poem. I don't even know for sure that it's a song, but it's a poem. Here I give my all to thee, friends and time and earthly store, soul and body thine to be, wholly thine, wholly, wholly, completely thine forevermore. Just a simple story, isn't it? But it bears a tremendous truth for us as Christians following God. What is the value that we place on him? How valuable is salvation? How valuable is living for Christ? How valuable is this pearl? You see, our desire for him is related to the value that we place on him. What is the value that we place? This merchant and the man that found the hidden treasure, they are both telling the same story. They both went and sold all that he had, all that they had, in order to buy this one item. The man that bought the field wasn't looking for the field. He was looking for the treasure in the field. The man that bought the pearl was looking for the pearl. There was treasure here. There was a value that was placed here. What about our value, the desire of our heart to have him? Pearl of great price. It's ours if we pay the price. Let's stand together tonight. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Can you sing that? Is that your testimony? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Trust you have a good week. Thank you for your attendance and attention today. Trust God's blessings be with you for another week. Amen. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday, 7:30. Those of you that can't make it, I look forward to seeing you at other times and on Sunday. Praise God. Christy, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?